not many years ago, I got the dictionary that I use, got a pair of scissors, and cut out two words. I don't want them in my dictionary. I don't want them in my vocabulary. So I got a pair of scissors, cut them out. One word is quit. Quit. There's nothing quite so detestable to me as a quitter. There's nothing quite so nauseating to me as a quitter. The one who puts his shoulder to the wheel, gets weary and tired and turns back. I cut it out of my dictionary. I don't want it there. The other word is compromise. I do not want the word compromise in my dictionary. One of the saddest stories in all the Bible to me is the story of John Mark. When Barnabas and Saul, later to become Paul and Barnabas, departed from Antioch on their first missionary journey, they took with them a young man whose name was John Mark. He's the same Mark who wrote the book of Mark in the Bible. He went with them to the island of Cyprus and on to a place called Pamphylia. Pamphylia was a coastal town, sort of. And between Pamphylia and the next stop, Antioch and Pisidia, there were some dangerous mountain passes. Everyone listening, no one talking. There were some dangerous mountain passes. Whether John Mark was afraid to go through those mountain passes or not, I do not know. Perhaps John Mark was homesick and that's why he turned back. I do not know. Maybe there was some contention between John Mark and Barnabas and Saul. I do not know. But for some reason unknown to any Bible student, John Mark, a young man, left the party and went home. He started, but didn't finish. He began, but didn't follow up. He was a quitter. He put his shoulder to the wheel, but turned back. If he was homesick, I'm sorry, that's not excuse enough to cause anybody to turn back. Was he afraid? That's not excuse enough to cause... Listen, brother, the thing that ought to cause us to fear is turning back. 10,000 times, brother, fear the chastening hand of God than to fear the critical nature or the sword of man. Now, why John Mark returned, I do not know. But he went back home to Jerusalem, which was his hometown, leaving Barnabas and leaving Saul and quitting. He sinned against five people or things when he did. First, he sinned against his mother. John Mark had a good mother. Her name was Mary. The Christians met in the home of John Mark. By the way, it was to John Mark's home, or the home of Mary, that Peter returned when he was miraculously delivered from prison in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. Peter came back to the home of Mary where John Mark had been reared. John Mark had a godly mother. He sinned against his mother. Listen to me. Anytime a young person starts out for God and turns back, that young person sins against his mom and dad. That mother. Can you imagine how that mother must have felt? Ah, the day when she said, my boy is going to be a missionary. And that day when she saw John Mark go with Barnabas and Saul, and the hands were laid, and Mary was so happy and proud. Can you imagine how she felt when she opened the door one day and saw John Mark at the door? What are you doing here? Oh, mother, I quit. Well, son, you are a missionary. I know, but I quit. If I were to quit this morning, if I were to lay down my Bible and quit, there's a little lady that weighs about 110 pounds in this room that's my mother. I'd sin against my mother. I'd sin against everything she ever taught me. I'd sin against those days she sacrificed for me. I'd sin against her teachings and against her training and against all the things that she did. I'd sin against my mother. When you put your hand... Listen, some of you college students this morning, you're homesick. You want to go back home. Want to turn back in God's dear name. If you do, you will be a dirty coward. You will be a quitter. Don't you stop. Don't you turn back. Keep on going. Keep on moving. Yes, but I'm homesick. Brother, there's not a person in this building this morning, or not a student in this college, who is any more homesick than I was 14 years ago today. Not a one of you. Not a one of you. But there's no place to turn back. John Mark would have sinned against his mother. That isn't all. If John Mark turned back, he sinned against his uncle. John Mark's uncle was Barnabas. It was with Barnabas that John Mark went on the first missionary journey. And John Mark sinned against his uncle Barnabas, who was a great Christian, his uncle Barnabas, who was a sacrificial man, his uncle Barnabas, who had invested his life in John Mark. Let me say, somebody's invested their life in you too. Yea, many somebodies. As I look back over my life, I stop and think of all of those who invested themselves in me, and all of those who placed a bit of their life and their time in me. I was thinking last night, as I was thinking about John Mark sinning against his uncle, I have an uncle in heaven today who was very dear to me, my Uncle Harvey. He was married to my mother's sister, Aunt Jimmy. Uncle Harvey helped me in college. After he helped me get my first car I ever owned, he helped us build our first building in Garland, Texas. He helped us in so many ways. We were in Texas, and I went to his bedside. He was dying with a stroke. I went to his bedside late at night. And I walked in the room, and his daughter, Dorothy, was there. And Uncle Harvey didn't recognize Dorothy. She said, "Daddy, Daddy!" But there was no answer. Harva Janelle, his other daughter, came, oldest daughter, came, and said, "Daddy, this is Harva." And Uncle Harvey didn't say a word, just stared into space in a coma. His son, Rupert, the oldest child, came in and said, "Dad, this is Rupert!" But there was no response from Uncle Harvey. I went over to the bed. The nurse looked at me, and she said, "You must be his favorite nephew." And I said, "I'm more than that. I'm his buddy, and he's my pal." And though he did not even look or speak to his own children, he looked up at me and smiled and squeezed my hand, and the angels came and took his spirit to the presence of Christ. Oh, I wouldn't want to sin against my uncle. I wouldn't want to sin against the one who helped me, who helped put me through school, and who helped build my first church, and who stood by me in the darkest hours of my life. I wouldn't want to turn back. And one reason I plan to stay in the battle and not quit and not turn back, because there are those who've invested their lives in me. Oh, my young friends, somebody loves you enough to give their lives and their time for you. Don't turn back. John Mark got scared, maybe. Maybe he was lonely. Maybe he was homesick. He turned back, but he sinned against his uncle. That isn't all. He sinned against his pastor. Peter had won John Mark to Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, Peter speaks about John Mark as being his son, his own son. What does it mean, Tom? Peter was to John Mark what I am to you, and John Mark was to Peter what you are to me, my son in the ministry. And if Tom Smith ever turns back, he'll sin against Jack Hiles. And if I ever turn back, I'll sin against J.C. Sizemore, my old pastor. And when John Mark turned back and left Barnabas and Saul and said, "I'm homesick, I'm going to go home," or "I'm tired, I want to go rest," or "I'm scared, I want to go back where there's safety," John Mark sinned against his mother. He sinned against his uncle, but he also sinned against his pastor. Friday night, about a little before midnight, I screamed in my office. Literally screamed in my office alone. Thursday night, I've been here till nearly midnight counseling. And the problems and the sins and the heartache and the tears. I've turned my back to my face to my wall this week more than I have in my life, and wept and wept and wept and said, "In God's name, help our people to stand true and to do right, and bless our young people." It just seems like I'm going to say tonight, and I'll say it this morning, I've never in all of my life hated the devil like I hate him today. Oh, the dirty thief and crook trying to steal the most precious possessions we have, our young people, and trying to send them to hell and cause them to lose everything that's decent and right and honorable. And I'd counseled and counseled and talked until my mind was so weary I could hardly think. And then Friday night,
way into the night. It was almost midnight when I trudged out of the office Friday night, and the problems and the awful sins and the tragedies and the heartaches and the broken lives and people that needed help. And I'd counsel with young people, and I'd close the door, and I got on my knees, and I shouted as loud as I could. I said, "Don't you waste my time! Don't you waste my time!" What did I mean? I meant, young people, I have one life to live, and adults too for that matter. I have one life to live, and I'm giving it to you. God knows I am. I'm giving it to you, and I'm giving it especially to you. When you come in my office and we talk and we pray and I counsel with you, and you go out and turn out to live like the devil and turn back, you wasted my life. Don't you dare waste my life. I only have one life to live. I only have 24 hours a day. Don't you flaunt the advice and counsel I give to you. Don't you turn back. I'll help you. God knows I'll help you till I fall over. But I do not want anybody wasting the only life that God has given me. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Stay in the battle for God. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You wait. John Mark said to Barnabas, I'm not sure how he worded it, but he said, Barnabas, I've got to go back. I'm scared. Paul, I've got to go back. I'm afraid. I'm homesick. I want to go back. I'm broke. Let me say, you college students, what I'll say again tonight, what I said last year. If you're the kind of wishy-washy coward, if you're the kind of the person who won't stay in the battle, if you're the kind that washes out, if you're the kind that gets discouraged and homesick and becomes a quitter, when you leave the college to go home, don't you come by my office and tell me goodbye. I don't want to see you. Just crawl out of town on your yellow belly. Don't you come by and tell me goodbye. I don't have time to say goodbye to a quitter. John Mark turned back. He betrayed his mother. John Mark turned back. He betrayed his uncle. John Mark turned back. He betrayed his pastor. And John Mark turned back. He betrayed his heritage. John Mark, no doubt, was there that day. That night they had that prayer meeting. One of the funniest stories in the Bible to me. Peter was in prison. Church having a prayer meeting, their preacher got out of jail. How'd you think about that, huh? Next Wednesday night, everybody praying, Lord, help her the house to get out of jail. So they prayed for Peter to get out of jail, and God answered the prayer and sent an angel. Angel unlocked the door. Door opened. Peter walked out a free man. He goes to the house of Mary. That's the place he'd go, but they were having a prayer meeting that Peter would get out of jail. Peter knocked on the door. A little girl named Rhoda came to the door and said, Peter said, hey, hello, Rhoda. Rhoda went back in and said to the folks in the prayer meeting, said, guess who's at the door? I said, Peter's at the door. They said, don't bother us. We're praying that Peter will get out of jail. She said, hey, Peter's out of jail. She said, you're ruining our prayer meeting. Now don't bother us. We're praying that Peter will get out of jail. Oh, God, get Peter out of jail. Peter's out of jail. He's at the door. Leave us alone. We're praying Peter will get out of jail. John Mark was there that day. He knew the wonderful miracle-working power of God. John Mark had seen a God who could deliver his man from prison and bring him back, as it were, to life again. He sinned against his heritage. Listen to me. Listen. Our brother said a while ago he hadn't been to church for a whole year. Those of you that have been to church every Sunday for a year and you've seen what God has done in this place, you've seen harlots made pure and drunkards made sober and lives transformed all these many, many months now for the last year or for these years of our lives, and you've seen what God has done. Let me tell you something. When you turn back, heavy, heavy is going to hang over your head. You're more responsible to stay in the battle than others. Say, oh, I belong to First Baptist Church at Hammond. There is a heavy responsibility that accompanies that privilege. Amen. Sinned against his heritage. There's something else. He sinned against his Jesus. He sinned against his Jesus. And hence he joins Titus, Judas, Naomi, Lot's wife, the rich young ruler, the children of Israel, a long list of quitters. He goes home. He's a coward. He goes home. He's a quitter. He goes home. He's yellow. He goes home. He's homesick. He goes home. He's afraid.
He sinned against his uncle, his mother, his pastor, his heritage, and his Jesus. And I don't want to join that group. Doctor, I was reading last night in the Bible, checking the Cruden's Concordance. Here's something interesting. I looked up the word quit. Did you know the word quit in the sense of stopping is not even in the Bible one time? Not one time. There's a passage or two that says, quit ye like men and be strong, but doesn't mean stopping something. It means be manly. In the sense of turning back, in the sense of quitting, the word quit is not in this Bible. I'm glad it's not. I'd hate to have to cut out part of the Bible. Everybody can't preach a sermon, but everybody can stick it out. No, everybody can't sing a solo like Roy Tobin, but anybody can stick it out. Everybody can't build a high school and a college like Dr. Billings, but anybody can stick it out. Everybody can't lead a choir like Ray Bordway, but everybody can stick it out. Everybody can't win souls like Fisk, but everybody can stick it out. Everybody can't do the work that Helton does, but everybody can stick it out. Every little woman this morning in this service who's a widow, who has graying hair and stooped shoulders and a wrinkled brow and a worried furrow on the brow and wrinkled face, every little woman, a little widow, a poor little woman can stay in the battle and not quit. Something every old man can do is stay in the battle. Every young person can do is stay in the battle. Some are not as pretty as others, but all can stay in the battle. Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Nothing that God hates any more than turning back. Quitting. Think I'll quit. Think I'll resign. Think I'll turn back. What do you mean? God knows nothing like that. I've been pastor of this church 14 years. I pastored the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas for 7 years. I pastored the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas for 3.5 years. I pastored 2 other churches for shorter periods of time. But not one time in all of my life have I ever wanted, as pastor of a church, to turn back. No time to quit. Tell you what you're going to have to do. You got to vote me out or shoot me. Man, if our attendance goes down to 4,000, I'm going to just double up, roll up, take off my coat, roll up my sleeves, and go to work. We're going to get it back up. Was a time one Sunday morning, 13 years ago this summer, when 406 people walked out the doors of this church. But thanks be to God, there was a nucleus of people who said, we'll build it back!
Amen.
Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! John Mark, you coward, you! Your mother trains you better than that. Your Uncle Barnabas invested his life in you. Your pastor, Peter, won you to Christ and got you in the ministry. The heritage you have. The church meets in your house. Your mother's a godly person. How dare you turn back? Why don't you and think what you missed. You missed the miracle in Lystra when Paul was raised from the dead. You missed the midnight vision in Troas. You missed that wonderful, wonderful deliverance from prison in Philippi. You missed that great revival in Thessalonica. You missed the wonderful miracle of God in Corinth. Think what you missed because you turned back. Let me say a few words about it. In the first place, one who turns back never rises to his previous potential. Never. Never. You won't find me a single student who's ever quit college and laid out a few years and come back who ever became what he would have become if he had stayed with it. You check your Bible. You look at the quitters. Folks that turned back. Oh, they came back. Take David. He came back, but not like he was before. Take Samson. He came back, but not like he was before. Abraham came back, but not like he was before. Jacob came back, but not like he was before. There is a certain sense in which God blesses one who is doing his job on his virgin chance, his first initial opportunity. That young person who never turns back. That young person who never quits. That person who knows not what it is to say, I'm going to stop and turn back and go home. He'll get 10 times as much done on the first chance as he will on the second chance. There's something else about it too. When you turn back, you forfeit untold blessings. Let me tell you a story. In fact, two stories. A little lady came to me not long ago, trembling and weeping. She walked inside my office and she tried to throw her head on my shoulders. I stepped back in order to be proper. But I did shake her hand briefly. She was not being unkind. She was being grateful and gracious. She said, "Brother Hiles, all morning I've been praising God." And I said, "Why?" She said, I stayed. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, 13 years ago, when you first came, the pastor, and there was trouble, and some folks wanted to vote you out because you took a stand and because of the way you preached." She said, "I had the best friends I had left this church." And she said, "One day I decided to leave, but somehow or other I stayed." And she said, "My children have grown up under your ministry." And she said, "Brother Hiles, they're more than I ever dreamed they would be." And she said, I wondered this morning, what would have happened if I'd left? What would have happened to my children if I'd left? And then she said, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I stayed. I got to see what God was going to do and has done here at this great church." Amen. I'll tell you another little story. I was walking down, what's the street that goes down to Jack Fox, between Jack Fox and the Cabinet Bank? Fayette Street. I was walking down Fayette one day. The lady walked up to me, and she drugged me over in the alley. I've always wanted to be drugged in an alley by a lady. And she, in that alley there between Jack Fox and the Hammond Times. And she said, "I want to tell you something." I thought, good night. This won't be very good in my biography. And I said, "What is it?" And she said, she began to weep. She said, "Don't you ever tell anybody." And I wouldn't tell you her name for the world, and nobody has any idea who she is. But she said, "Several years ago when you first came, and there was the battle," she said, "I knew you were God's man. I knew you were God's man. But," she said, "I went with some of my friends." And she began to weep, and her tears fell on my shoulder. And she said, "Dr. Hiles, I've been sorry ever since. My children." She said, "I knew I should have stayed. I knew you were God's man. And I'm so sorry." But she said, "I can't come back. I'd have to admit some things that my pride won't let me admit." You know one reason why I want to stay around First Baptist for a while? I want to see what's going to happen. A little lady came to me one day and she said, "Do me a favor." I said, "What?" She said, "Have a Sunday where nothing happens." I said, "Why?" She said, "I want to go to Kentucky some weekend." You heard about up in heaven. A lot of folks up in heaven have balls and chains on their feet. And a fellow went to heaven and said, "St. Peter, who are all those people who have balls and chains?" And he said, "They're from Kentucky. We have to keep them that way to keep them going home for the weekends." She said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "every Sunday something happens. I don't want to leave." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's always something happening where God's Spirit is working, God's power is present. You stay. Don't you quit. But you say, "I'm homesick." Don't quit. You say, "I'm afraid." Don't quit. A lot of folks have gone forward who are afraid to go forward. A lot of folks have stayed in the battle who were homesick. There's something else that comes when you quit, and that is tragedy. Tragedy. I sat beside the Dead Sea several years ago alone. Some folks were there, but I went out beside the Dead Sea and sat on a little bench beside the Dead Sea alone. And I began to talk to the Dead Sea, and I said, "Dead Sea, somewhere down inside there's a grave. Down in the bottom of you somewhere, there's a grave. There's a grave of a fellow whose name was Malan. There's another grave beside that one, a fellow whose name was Chilean.
somewhere, Dead Sea, there are two boys buried down inside you. And what was once Moab? Those boys were sons of Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech and Naomi left the will of God. They turned back from Bethlehem of Judah and wandered down to the backslidden place of Moab. And there in Moab they went into sin, and their sons were both taken. Somewhere, old Dead Sea, inside you, there's a man named Elimelech whose body has decayed down to the bottom of you somewhere. Elimelech left the will of God and was gone for 10 years. His life was taken, family ruined, life wrecked. Somewhere down in you, old Dead Sea, is the remains of a lady who was married to Lot. She looked back. She turned back. She turned to a pillar of salt. Somewhere down inside you, old Dead Sea, there are a lot of bodies of people whom you wanted to use but who turned back. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you will stay in the battle for God and never turn back, you'll be glad for eternity that you didn't turn. This morning on my desk, and I close with this. This morning on my desk was placed a little mimeograph sheet of paper. Let me tell you a story. Two little kids came to our Sunday school named Castro. Castro. Remember how I baptized them? I said, I've been praying for the Castro kids to get saved for a long time. It's that other Castro down in Cuba. But recall when I baptized, how many recall to baptize the Castro kids? It wasn't long. So Mr. and Mrs. Castro came down the aisle and got saved. And they told me why they got saved. Are you listening? Two little bus kids, 9, 10, 11 maybe, 8, came to our church and got saved. They went back home. They started keeping their rooms cleaner than they did before they got saved. They obeyed their parents better than they did before they got saved. Mr. and Mrs. Castro, over here in Illinois, I think in Salt Village, Chicago Heights, somewhere over here, Mr. and Mrs. Castro noticed the difference in their children. And they said there must be something to that First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And Mr. and Mrs. Castro got saved. Last week, the Castros were in Springfield, Illinois. The two children, the bus children, went out to take a swim in the swimming pool at the motel. And both of them were drowned. They're in heaven today because bus workers wouldn't turn back. I wonder how many kids will die and go to hell because somebody in this room once worked on the buses and turned back. I wonder how many young people will die and go to hell because you Sunday school workers decided that you were tired and weary. Well, let me tell you something, brother. If everybody on this platform that's tired and weary this morning were turned back, we'd all walk out that door. Never had time to turn back. Never quit. Never give up. Stay in the battle. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit, college students. Don't quit, high schoolers. Don't quit, senior citizens. Don't quit, deacons. Don't quit, Sunday school workers. Don't quit, bus workers. Stay in the battle. Don't ever turn back. Anybody can be a yellow-bedded coward and turn back. Stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. There's somebody up in heaven hollering amen this morning, and his name is John Mark. Girls, listen to me. I called you down a while ago. You look at me. Yeah, you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Suppose 14 years ago today, I had yielded to the homesickness for Texas and turned my back upon the bitterest opposition I've ever known in my life here at this church. Think what may have happened. Think of the churches in America that have been transformed because of this place. Think of the thousands and thousands of preachers whose lives have been completely changed because of this place. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. As the old colored preacher down south used to say, I'm going to stay in the fight.
I'm going to fight the devil as long as I've got a fist. I'm going to bite him as long as I've got teeth. And when they're pulled, I'm going to gum him till I die. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Are you like the rich young ruler? You've come to the place where you're thinking about being saved. You're right to the very door of salvation. You've thought about it. And you've wondered maybe you ought to get saved. You come this morning at the very door of salvation. Don't turn back. He's in hell today because he turned back. As God called you to be a preacher and you come to the very door of surrender, don't quit. Go forward and surrender. As God called you to go to a Christian high school, don't quit. As God called you to leave your home and go to college, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. The road to hell, the road to tragedy, the road to ruin is dotted with Judas Iscariot, whose bowels rolled down the hill of Jerusalem with Jelot's wife who turned to a pillar of salt, to Naomi who walked away from the grave of her two sons and her husband. The path to ruin and quitting is dotted with quitters who've turned back. Hear the words of our Lord who said, "He that putteth his shoulder to the wheel and turneth back is not worthy of the kingdom of God." There's no place to rest. There's no place to quit until we feast our eyes upon Him. Who set His face like a flint toward Calvary and wouldn't turn back till He could cry, "It is finished." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that a sense of determination shall sweep over this building. I pray that perseverance shall fill the hearts of these people. I pray You'd help them to be like the ball carrier on a football team who heads in the line, finds the whole block, and takes off around in, but never retreats. Never retreats. Never retreats. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. Our Savior was tempted. It's not wrong to be tempted to quit. He prayed the prayer in Gethsemane's garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." It's not wrong to want the cup to pass. It's not wrong to look at the dregs of the will of God, or look at the bitterness sometimes the will of God carries. It's not wrong to look at the homesickness and say, "I wish I could quit," but Jesus went on to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I'm talking to someone this morning who's been about to throw in the towel. I'm talking to some man this morning who's about to quit. If you do, your boy will go to hell. Your girl will go to the devil. Your family, your children need you to stay in the battle. Or do you want to be a quitter? I'm talking to some college student this morning, so homesick, you just don't think you can live through the day. Okay, then die, but rather die in the will of God than quit. Talking to someone who's afraid to face the day, but don't quit. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Don't turn back. You, like John Mark, shall wish even in heaven you hadn't quit. You hadn't quit. I wonder how many would say this morning, "Brother Hiles, I've been tempted to quit. I've been tempted to turn back like John Mark." Oh, not turn back to go to the devil. John Mark didn't go to the devil. He went back home to a mighty nice church and a mighty nice home. He just quit the will of God. He quit going forward. I wonder how many of you would say, "Brother Hiles, I've been tempted to quit, and this morning I'm making God a promise. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stay in the battle. I'm going to keep going forward. I'm not going to turn back. I've been tempted, but this morning I promise God I will not turn back." Raise your hand with heads bowed, would you please? All over the building. All over the building. All over the building. God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. God bless you. Now this morning there's some of you who have come to the very door of the kingdom. The very door of the kingdom. I mean, you have come through conviction. You come in contact with a soul winner. You come in contact with a Bible preaching church. You come in contact with a church that cares about your soul. And you're right at the door of the kingdom this morning. Like the rich young ruler was. Like Nicodemus was. You're right at the door of the kingdom. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. How many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm saved, but I wish I did know it. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven, but I wish I did know it. Pray for me, that I may know that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building, you don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. God bless you. You'd say, pray for me. Lift your hand way up high. Way up high, would you raise your hand? On the lower floor, in the balcony. God bless you. I see you upstairs. God bless you. Who else? On the lower floor first. Who else? God bless you. I see you, lady. God love you. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you over here. God bless you right here next to the aisle. I see you. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Raise your hand, please. Quickly, would you lift it? God bless you, little lady. God bless you, fella. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. God bless you. I see you back on the back row. God bless you. Who else with heads bowed would say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand, would you, please? God bless you next to the aisle. I see you. God bless you. In the balcony on my left, who would say, include me in the prayer. I want to be saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. In the center balcony. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. The balcony on my right.